Ty Greger. It's a Koloman in the West Side Klebo. The format is, after the few words of introduction, is basically to keep it informal, but obviously formal in the sense of addressing the Rosh Yeshiva if there are any questions. And the Rosh Yeshiva will decide amongst the Rosh Yeshiva which one will respond to any particular things and then inform Shel Chizuk. We are going to limit it time-wise until approximately 11:15, which was the time established. If our Pam has to leave, I'm sure that we will. I'll work that out. We'll work that out. We may have to get a helicopter, but we'll work it out. We'll be in touch.
Express my feelings, which I believe many other Chavrei HaKoelo share with me. Though I've been raised with the desire to come with Machanas Amayim Yad Hashem way back, say almost from the cradle, being the son of a extremely successful and great Machanach. Spending Shabbos at this convention, observing, communicating with many of you who are presently in Chantchem, it's been a great inspiration for me. And just strengthened the existing desire and really gave me a feeling of looking forward, Yad Hashem, to become your future colleagues. Being in the Kollel, constantly come in contact with many situations that we were not confronted in the past, and we always try to picture in our minds what would be the Ashkafa and the day of Rosh Yeshiva, of our Rebbein. Not always is it easy, it can be very difficult to discuss each and every matter that comes up in front of us. Therefore, it's a great opportunity. We're very grateful to Rosh Yeshiva to give us their time to meet with us and answer questions that Chavrei HaKoelo foresee as a plan on entering the field of Chinuch as well as President Milandim and Marot. They will have the opportunity to ask questions to Rosh Yeshivas. Rosh Yeshivas will decide on themselves which one would answer a particular question. If anyone wants to ask, they can ask a question.
Like, there's a question about the opening of the product line, supposedly, or the top, or, let's say, the middle, or the bottom, how much solution on that? think it's an easy shaila to answer. It's not a shriach, it's a daily shaila. I think that the lemaisa you have to head for the that which will give the maximum growth to the largest number. I don't think you head for the top, I don't think you head for the bottom, I don't think you head for the middle exactly. You head for that mahalach of your lingud where you see that the largest number of your talmidim get their maximum growth. It will cost the top ones a little bit, it will cost the bottom ones a little bit, but that's the rov are going to be keveya yomahalach. Lamaisa, of course, you have a mind always, if you can find a little laser here and there, to give a little extra to the top ones that they can do on their own so that they don't lose that much, and whatever aid you can give the bottom ones to help them along, you give. Baba, the thrust of your approach has to be that which will give the greatest number of the Talmidim their maximum possible growth.
I know that each case should be judged on its own merits, but are there any cases in general, if you see certain danger signs from your children acting a certain way, saying certain things, that should happen? My family children, that should prompt the person to move to the way. Is anything more of a danger sign than something else that should prompt the person to be afraid?
Constant doses of chizuk and eskalvis and love and ahava, which they're not getting at home. And this is unfortunately, this is a very important part of chinuch nowadays.
You should have spoke about the child out of town, not from a home, who said it's not even called Shabbos, how to deal with that. In the opposite situation, in the frumah, a child of a frumah home, at what point do you tell the raisas, the rabbanim, those are geshivim, those are not, at what point is it kedai? Are you supposed to tell them, no, it's not what your parents are doing? And at what point, my father will ask me my opinion on television, which is, and they either do or don't. And there I have the derech to work with the parents. We tell them, we're supposed to work together. And there we come to the point where they'll be emotional, but not necessarily television, but in anything.
The boys have said that his parents are Machal Shabbos, and I suggested not to enter into discussions before the class, but I certainly meant that after class, Rebbe should talk to him.
That's what I'm not from a parent. I'm talking about a from a parent, with a different. From parents of the Derech HaOl, we do back and we work it together and we chazak each other. It comes sometimes to something where it's called the movies.
Well, you have to tell them that we are teaching Torah. This is not the chinuch that we are giving the children. We want them to grow in kedusha, especially the younger children are more influenced in their ways. They have to learn Torah, perhaps. You have to learn Torah. Torah has to be learned with kedusha and with concentration. Certainly, television for you is going to be very harmful. You talk, I think, from the point of view of the child, from his position. His position is he has to learn Torah, he has to learn Yirat Shamayim, he has to do well in school, etc. And by watching television and doing that, he will not be able to do his work, not be able to. You'll learn wrong things from television. Children learn very wrong things from television. We want you to learn the right things. We want you to learn Torah, the Kedusha, so that you should be a Yish Kodesh when you grow up, etc. Something like that.
But I'm sacrificing at that point, because this boy is going to come home, and the Tat will say, Tat is better without. The other Tat will say, that's for the Rebbe. We don't hold like that. And at that point, he's going to have to choose to me or he. Maybe the first Rebbe will... At that point, I lose the backing.
I suggest that you stress the fact that from in his position, without criticizing what the parents are doing, without saying that the parents... I do wrong, they should not have a television at all. You're not saying that. You're saying what the interests of the child are. The interests of the child are they should learn the right things. They should learn Torah, not learn from television. It's not for him. Okay?
What's the school policy?
None. My school
has no policy on it?
My school? No.
Your school? In other words, if you're talking in the school that has a policy,
no policy.
Then the policy, let them take the child out and drop out. They're not going to.
My school has no policy.
If the school doesn't have a policy, then what Roshiva said is the obvious, only possible solution. You do not tell them they can't do it. You do not tell them it's us to do it. But you do point out to them that Kuli Alma made it, that somebody who doesn't is going to be a bigger Talmud Chacham and a more familiar. You want it to be more than the bottom. You want it to be more than the minimal that is a Shulchan Aruch. you want to be better than that. You want to be one who is a neighbor. You want to become a Talmud Chacham. Those that it will work. Those where it doesn't work, and I am sure that a large percentage of your kinderlach, it's not going to work. They're not that interested in being. You slowly get them to become interested in that, and maybe you'll deal. Otherwise, ignore them. If you get them first to want to become Talmid Chachamim, to want to become a little more, if you get them that, you'll be able to deal with them on these problems too. And if not, these problems are not the ego, the other is the ego.
I just got a message that I have a car ride in 5 minutes to get to Brooklyn. So I'm very sorry to leave this
August assembly,
okay. It would have been very interesting to hear some more of the questions and hear the answers of the Rosh Yeshiva. I'm very sorry I have to leave now.
Hire a girl that I'm positive cannot handle the class. Her emotional state will be detrimental to the class, or her shtakas amidos will be destructive to a class. What is my fear in such cases when I was not consulted? Am I allowed to intervene? I'll repeat the question. I am a principal in a girls' high school. My graduates apply for teaching jobs. Sometimes I find out that a certain school hired or is about to hire a girl that I am positive cannot handle the class. Her emotional state would be detrimental to our class, or her ashkafos or midos would be destructive to a class. What is my fear in such cases? When I was not consulted, am I allowed to intervene?
I think in this case, and Rav Weinberg agrees, in this case, I think that the menahel should be a shabal tasa and let that other school find out for itself. Because it's a very dangerous precedent to take. Even though in Chafetz Chaim, the Dodinim, Legabi Shiduchim, Legabi Fashidin Ezachim, there are cases where Mitzad V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha, it's necessary to inform people about certain problems. Nevertheless, in most situations, for example, the question was worded, I am positive. But maybe in the different, one has no right to be that positive about somebody else. And if the teacher that's about, the girl that's about to be hired is not going to do a good job, let that school determine it by itself. I think that there's no question about it, that in this case, the gentleman who's so positive should be a shabbat heist and do nothing. Not intervene at all.
What if they
ask one? You should know that if they didn't ask you what you're going to say, you should not be. If the people were interested, they know that there was a principal, they know that there are. They have. I understand, but the other school knows where she went, and they know that she had a principal, and they know that they can get information. If they're not asking the information and you interfere, the chances are well that you're going to do more harm than good.
But
That may be a different type of situation. That's a different type of situation. And it's very hard to visualize if Principal A wants to have a girl hired in a certain school by Principal B, and Principal B is about to hire somebody else, and A thinks that person who's about to be hired has wrong. It's a milsipul eshchicha. It's a milsipul eshchicha.
I think over here we're talking where Principal A knows that Principal B is hiring a teacher that is studying under Principal A.
Under Principal A?
Right. And Principal A says, should I tell Principal B that this teacher has bad hashkafas? I think that's the dover that I think is being presented. And that kind of a situation, will the principal who is hiring her react to such information properly? Then I would strongly recommend that you quietly inform Principal B that is the case. If the chances are fair that Principal B will ignore what you're saying, forget it.
Shiva, if you're teaching the Indian Kumish, which is connected to what is done in the house, how do you approach it? Example, teach Pasha Saita, which says you uncover the hair, the mother around the house, and then the hair come. How do you approach that topic?
You teach the Kumish, the Yemis away, and if it will cause problems, let it cause problems. There are every need to avoid problems. And you don't bring things up that will create problems. But don't teach the Chumash not properly to avoid problems. Doesn't it?
In this situation, there's no need that there should be a problem necessarily. You can teach the Chumash, and unless the Talmud asks a question directly, is it mutter to go for a married woman begili leish? Then, of course, dafna zom demenis. But the parsha could be taught. There's no reason to teach the parsha in a way that will have. But that you should translate the pasuk, and that's all. The geit weiter doesn't necessarily have to cause a problem.
Normally, it would. I mean, she had
her head covered. That's right.
Is there a way in case the women have a question? I think they're entitled to some questions too.
Are there any questions from the women?
Between the children in a class, and the children at that time feel a lot of animosity toward each other and will not be ready to listen to the teacher telling them about being nice to each other. What should be done then and afterward to avoid the same occurrence?
The Mishnah says that when you try to teach somebody something, don't do it when it's not effective. Don't quiet somebody down when he's in the midst of his anger spell. It doesn't work. Therefore, the Mishnah says that you have to use your judgment to be sure that you're doing is going to be effective. If in your judgment it's not going to be effective, just separate them, quiet the class down, and later find an opportunity to bring it up, not necessarily in front of the two who are in the argument, but a general discussion of how do we react when our friends do something that irritates. Do we argue, or do we find a way to discuss it? Bring it up as a general discussion, which probably would be more effective. But whatever it is, that's the general rule, is don't do what isn't going to work.
In the back page of the Jewish Observer last month, there was a request by many of the writers for the Rosh Hashivas to make hakanas concerning simchas, if there would be a limitation on how much could be spent, etc. It would also help the salary structure of the yeshiva. Is there any plan by the yeshivas to do that?
There's in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, there are many people who are very concerned about this matter, and well, laid the groundwork for a certain Das HaKol to be developed in certain stages to be able to bring people to the idea that luxurious simchas and all the extravagance that goes along with it is not what the Ruach Yisrael requires b'zman hazeh. But you have to realize takonis nowadays, ishvel tzimachin, there are ways of doing things the right way and there are ways of doing things the wrong way. Of hakol moedim in unzer, hakol moedim in the Olam HaTorah, it's pretty universally agreed that to prava simchas modestly and not to overdo things in the spending of money and in the show is the right way. Unfortunately, there are individuals and families who are not ready to go along with this yet. Where takonis have been made, for example, the Baba Vavav made takonis in the Skehillah this year, which are very, very effective and very well miscabled. This will go a great deal towards creating a Das HaKol. But in the meantime, let's hope that by itself, the people, the general population of El Eden in the larger cities begin to recognize, and some are, that there are a lot of improvements in this area that should be made.
Very much quite to point out that even the Sanhedrin, whose takonis are mideiraisa, according to many, that there is an inyan deiraisa, even according to the Ramban. I mean, everybody's made it that there's an inyan deiraisa to be shemeya, like the Ramban, it's a nesa and a leisa. It's an absolute chiyuv, and there's a yishkanu nachash. It's a halacha of two things. One, that engaging of a tzibur, the tzibur yochel amidbar, that's a din on the Sanhedrin. You don't make a takana if you think that the large proportion of the tzibur are not prepared or able to carry it out. And two, when they do make a takana, the tzibur, the maisa, doesn't accept it, the takana is not keveya. The takana becomes bottle. I mean, you have to remember, the first takana of Yayin Stam Yenam was bottle, wasn't kukubo. Our Stam Yenam only came later after a second takana. To make a takana, you first have to know that it is that the tzibur are prepared to live with it, and two, that they are going to take it seriously. And until you have these two dvarim, you must not make hakonis.
But nevertheless, since you did bring it up, I think it's important that mechanchim, menalim, in their schools, without perhaps directly antagonizing certain families, individuals, but they could begin to create a certain atmosphere about bar mitzvahs, that some of them are not, even if it's from families, even if it's not a question of the kashrus or the tznius or things like that. But I think that those bar mitzvahs that are too elaborate, there should be a certain movement in amongst the menalim and in the various communities that people should be sensitized to the fact that simchas must be toned down. As Maran said, it's gone too far.
What is the halacha as far as girls or women teaching in mixed classes? Is there an age or a grade limit?
Individual schools to ask a shayla from the one whose psak halachas they solicit in general. Certainly, the recommendation would have to be that the mitzias of tznius is not going to be served by the anisha who is in front of a class which has boys of more mature age. I mean, that's clearly a breach of sneers. But the specific dwelling cases, I think that we don't agree, should be presented to the one who is asking for the particular school.
There is a class, high school, where the majority of the girls come from prim homes, but there are some who don't. To whom do you gear the hashgafas taught in the class? How strong do we make the hashgafas? Do we worry about antagonizing the non-prim element?
As Rabbi Weinberg said before, The first thing to know is that the emes of hashgacha has to be taught. The only degree of flexibility in teaching hashgacha, teiras emes, as we know it, is the way it might be presented. Now, no two cases are probably the same. If the majority of the girls in the class, or the same thing could be true in the boys' class, but certainly require a chizuk or reinforcement in the type of Yiddishkeit in which their parents are raising them, then the derech of the teacher should, the derech klal, be geared to the majority, but at the same time seek ways and means to present it in a way where the other girls are not antagonized. But if it's necessary to, they have to be told the truth. Now, for example, I don't think that in a case where most girls in the class do not go to the movies, and there may be some that do go to the movies, that a girl, that the teacher in the class should be teaching the truth, should be teaching the Shemayim, should be teaching Tznius. And the other girls, if they do develop a sense of healthy guilt, very good. Now, sometimes you can't be too worried about antagonizing. Sometimes it may reflect a position of weakness. On the other hand, there's a lot of private, outside the classroom, there's a lot of private work that a teacher, a rabbi can do with the weaker students or those who come from less from homes in order to bring them around. But if the parents of those girls are sending them to this type of a school where the majority of the girls have come from homes with strong hashkafas, then they should be prepared to understand that the derech of the school, and I imagine that this is a good, strong, firm school, will be to teach Yiddishkeit the way it should be taught.
But you do not sacrifice the well-being of the fumah for the sake of not antagonizing the left fumah. You can't do that. You can use your best judgment to do it in a way that will minimize to the greatest possible extent any bad effect on the others. But you may not be makdim the well-being of the more advanced fumah for the sake of not antagonizing the less.
I would like to ask the yeshiva. There are many yeshivas that, due to lack of availability, they hired goyim to teach in English department. What would be the thing on this?
And said it's better to hire not fully Yiddin to teach in the English department. Number one, they cooperate a lot better. I think if you tell them clearly, make it clear what are the areas you want them not to touch and not to address, I think they will observe it, carry it out for you, and do it. And the price is not particularly heavy. Let me put it this way. There is a very great advantage to have a Tehadika teacher for the secular department. It is an enormous advantage. It isn't a heavy price to pay when you have a non-Jewish teacher in the secular department. But it isn't that the non-Jewish teacher is damaging as much as a Fumah Yid who is teaching in the secular department could be helpful. Not necessarily. On the one hand, to know that it is a guy in the English department is appropriate. To have a bentel in the English department has to have some additional explanation or backing because that I can become go and become an English teacher in the yeshiva and do it, then it's just the same. What do I have to bother learning? Look, I mean, he's a bentel. You have to face that. That's a very reasonable response on the part of children and almost inevitable one that they'll do. You need a way to deal with it, which you don't need when it's a goyish teacher. So there is not a harm in having a non-Jewish teacher for your secular department. There could be great help in having a good, solid Fumah teacher in the secular department. He can be a positive aid under the proper circumstances.
That's just the second part of this, if I may. What happens if the class shows the massive of the fact that the teachers are good? It's an upper grade.
They do what?
They don't like the fact that the teachers are good.
Why?
They don't want to be taught by a girl.
Show the great. Show it to the guy.
Yeah, the show it to the guy.
And the teacher teaches.
The show it to the guy.
And in that case, the class has to be taught, has to be given a shiur by the Rebbe of the Menahel in Derech Eretz, in Hanhogish of Benodim Lechaveri, even as it applies to a guy. And the Megs is over the Mishnah, Chobavodim Shinivra Betzelem. And after Mevayah Zaydos. It's nothing, there's nothing wrong with it. Mit Torah nicht weisen Kinder, als Goyim sind ein Chayis. Mit Torah sind das nicht sagen. I said, and Takia, most of them out there, aber mit Torah nicht, dass er mich an sein Kinder. The Dati. Goyim sind die human beings. And it certainly can involve problems later on.
Okay.
little, the fact that it's so is an indication.
Anyway, they'll go to a doctor or go in and have himself treated.
That's right.
But he will. But he will. I'm not preaching Abbas Goyim, please.
But the mice is that the silent that was presented, they should go and get a Yiddish teacher. The tikkun that the Rosh Yeshiva, and very rightfully, without a shaiva, and it's good, has to be in the earlier places. There was something wrong all the way along that you had this reaction. If it had been as it should be, there should have been this reaction. This reaction is an indication that there's some tikkun that's needed before. But you don't first let them stop the agitation, and then definitely find a way for them to understand the proper relationship, which is that for a guy to teach secular subjects, that's his job. What else is he supposed to do? Yeah, he must supposed to know secular thought. What thought would be the always timing, and it's their job, it's their winning for us need. Novominska ever brought out is, I think, very, very essential. They are human beings and have to be understood as human beings. But I want you to know at the same time that the yisod of Yiddish Chinuch and the basis of Kiyum Yisrael, and the davar that more than any other thing that has to be given over in any chinuch that pretends to have a shaychus with Yiddishkeit is atah b'chaton. If you don't give over the atah b'chaton, you've given nothing. Without an understanding of atah b'chaton, the rest of Teva disappears necessarily. The Yato Bechaltonu is the beginning and the middle and the end of being a Yid. A Yid is not a guy. A Yid is different than a guy. A Yid is a different Briya than a guy, with different Hashkofes and different values and different Havanas and different ways of doing things and different ways of hearing things. He has nothing in common. He has to understand this, because otherwise they go to the movies and he goes to the movies. They go to the ballpark and that's what matters and that's all that counts in a human life is the sports and the volume, and that's a fact. You want them to understand that for them, that's not for you. We're different. We're totally different. We're completely different. I mean, maybe when you teach the other, the Chaviva Adam, which is a nemesis, teach and a necessary thing for them to understand, and what Kolaterikula is that? Kehanim, we have to be in Kehanim in the Pshat, that we bring some Havana of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the Yom Yisraelim, and our purpose, V'haya Bayim Ahuya, Hashem Lachodesh Be'achad, and we ask in our tefillahs that all the Yumi should be Makir Hashem. They mean something. They mean a great deal. I mean, the whole tefillah of Rosh Hashanah says how much they mean. But this meaning has to be presented with a clear understanding of the difference. And if I had to choose which one to lose, I would lose the Chaviva Adam and retain the Chavivim Yisrael, Shenikru Bonim, that is by far the more important thing to retain. However, it ought to be certainly that Chavivim Yisrael Shenikrim Bonim Lamakim is deeper and fuller because of Chaviva Adam Shenivo Betzelem. When you add to that Chavivim Yisrael, then Chavivim Yisrael becomes 1,000 times more intense. I mean, maybe it's Kedai for them to have the two together. But without the Chavivim Yisrael Shenikro Bonim Lamakim, nothing else is going to work. You have to always remember that. That is what
Beisku, Yeshiva Ketana, Cheda, Beis Yaakov, that's what it's all about. The Yata B'Hava. Of them left Klal Yisrael.
I never like to incur the anger and displeasure. I know there were a number of other shilas that were written down for presentation, and I apologize for having at this point to end what we are doing because it is very kosher. So I apologize to everyone and to the Rosh Hashiva if I do this. There is at this time a presentation that is going to take place. And afterwards, the Malava Malka, and again, everyone should have a good tevach, and I ask that you remain for the forthcoming presentation. Yashikaya.